All right, you guys can go ahead and find your seats. We're going to be doing something a little bit different this morning. We're continuing our series called I Heart, Seeing the Heart of a King. And we've been talking through the life of David, who was a man in the Old Testament that eventually became the king over Israel. He was described as a man after God's own heart. Like, he did some incredible things in his life. But he also did some things that were really just quite evil, and that's what we talked about last week. And we saw how David's life was just really interesting and unique, and as we see his life, we see that he's really no different than us, that we're trying to see God, we're trying to understand who he is, and we've been looking at that, and we thought this week that we would talk about the vision that David had. We're going to get to that at the very end. But we've kind of made a tradition here after our fall retreat, just because everyone is so tired, things just are a little bit different. We've kind of made it a tradition to talk about the vision of H2O Church the day after our fall retreat. So we're going to be talking about what we really feel like God is leading us to. And in order to do that, we need to kind of give a little backstory to some of you, because some of you are very new to H2O. Maybe some of you are here for the first week. And so we want to kind of give a little bit of a history lesson of kind of where we came from, just because history matters. And so for those of you that don't know, we come from a larger network of churches that have really been focusing and really trying to plant as many college-focused churches on college campuses as we can. And so all the way back to 2008, we started planting out of Bowling Green State University. I don't remember this time. We started planting churches over at Kent State and Cincinnati and Ohio State. And we've just seen this network of churches continue to grow. We're going to share a little bit more about that later. And this is the picture that we have from our fall retreat this past weekend. This is just our UT group. So a total from UT, there was about 63 of us that went to this fall retreat. But overall, from four different H2O campuses, we had 530 students, all from over the state of Ohio, worshiping God this weekend. And we've been able to see how God has been moving over the past 7-8 years on campuses. And that's what we're hoping and we're praying desperately that we see here at Toledo over the years. Just a little side note. Toledo, we were dominant this year in the H2O. So the biggest event there is the tug of war. And we had two out of the four teams in the finals of the tug of war. We have ended up getting second and third, but it was amazing. We have a lot of strong people in this church. So thank you for all you strong people that tug of war.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so back to the history. So back in 2012, there were 12 of us. 12 of us from Bowling Green State University saying, where's the next university that we're going to go to? What campus do we really feel like God is leading us to? And you would have thought that we would have come to Toledo a long, long time ago, because Bowling Green is only 30 minutes away. But over the years, we've seen more dorms being built up in the past 10 years on campus. The on-campus population was really low before you guys came here. There weren't as many dorms. And so we just didn't really feel this huge need to get here because we had never dealt with a highly commuter campus. But as dorms started rising and on-campus population started rising, we decided, you know, we want to go to UT. We want to start a church there. So 12 of us, just 12 of us started coming here to Bowling Green, and on March 20th, 2012, we started a Bible study in Parks Tower. I think maybe 12 more people showed up. Just people that we were meeting, and we were just kind of going out on a limb because we didn't know anybody. We knew people in the area, but we wanted to go out and walk in faith and just say, God, whatever you want to do, we're going to just go and we're going to see what happens. So, one of our key verses for that year came out of Ephesians chapter 3. And this is something that we went back to as that core group of well. None of us were students. Some of us were staff, and some of us volunteers that really were excited about it. So Ephesians 3:20 is something that we came back to over and over again. And it says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory of the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And the reason we kept going back to this verse is, like I said, we really knew nobody. We knew that we wanted to start a Bible study. We knew that we just needed to learn a whole new campus because Bowling Green and Toledo are very different campuses. The types of majors that are offered here are not offered at Bowling Green. The type of student that comes here is very different than the Bowling Green student. So we just were going out on a limb and saying, we have a lot to learn, God, and we are really expecting that you can do far more abundantly than we even ask or think. All the things that we're praying, we think you can do far more abundantly than we can pray. So that's what we're trusting God with. And so that was pretty much our first year on campus. We started that Bible study, and then we continued the whole next year with the Bible study and just trying to meet more people.
It's fun to reminisce about those early days because it's only 3.5 years ago, and sometimes it feels like a really long time ago. And there's a picture of our first Sunday, which Matt's going to talk about in a minute. But it was a time of really depending on God, maybe more than most of us had in our whole life, because planting churches is really hard. We were reading the books together and studying and praying and asking God to do something great through us, but we would remember the statistics of just like 80% of church plants fail. 80% of church plants don't even last 5 years. And then the fact that we're doing it on a college campus, there was a lot of things going against us. And so it was exciting for us to band together. I remember when we sat down with the Wilsons to recruit them, we sat down with the Furoffs to recruit them. I just remember a lot of butterflies at that time in my own stomach. I'm like, wow, can we do this? And so it was a cool time, because we were desperate for God to do something through us. And we knew that the odds were against us. And so it was a really cool time for us to be more intimate with God, because we were stepping out in faith, doing something hard. And I know that's true for all of us. When we're stepping out in faith, trying to do something difficult, and trying to put our faith in him, it just makes us pray more and depend on him more. And so those were really exciting times of just meeting students for the first time, hanging up posters and things and thinking, is anybody going to come? Who are we going to meet? And just sharing the gospel so much those first few years was really awesome and really important. And we were fortunate because we've had some other churches in this network that we're a part of that have this game plan for us. And it's something that we all kind of look to and ask God to help us achieve different checklists on this strategy that we have. And there's a little model that's going to come up here, a little circle. And this is pretty much what we call our church growth model. And it's really important for us to reflect back on this as a launch team and to share with you as a church so that you know we're in this process and we have this plan that we're praying through and we're depending on God to do. But in that first quadrant, and I know you can't see the letters that are really small, but in the light blue one, is just the pre-launch. We spent a whole year just in pre-launch of praying and building a team, bringing the right people, raising money, becoming a student group, getting all of our banking and incorporation, all of that stuff, and just building this foundation before we even started anything. And then down in that lower green thing was when we launched and all the first things that we did on campus and just getting a faculty advisor, figuring out where the buildings were and getting room assignments and trying to work with the university in partnership in different ways just to kind of start getting our roots into the campus and start loving on people. And so we had some really specific goals in our pre-launch and our launch stages there. And it was really cool because we celebrated a lot because God had answered each one of those. And that's something that we've saved. This long checklist of, like, in the first quadrant, there's probably actually about 10 different specific things that we were praying through and 10 different things in that green area that we prayed through. We just kept seeing God come through time and time again, helping us achieve these things so that we could kind of get to where we are. And those first two quadrants that are on the right, the pre-launch and the launch, were a 3-year plan. And so here we are. And I know for some of you, maybe you've been coming around this year and you think, oh, this is maybe a somewhat established church. I don't know if that's a thought of yours, but we're actually a very new church and still trying to accomplish a lot of things that we have in the future. And so we're 3 years into that. And now I'll let that take over and just what's happening next year.
So when we first came, like Matt said, we were just kind of trying to get to know the campus and learn as much as we could. So we started a Bible study, but we knew that our ultimate goal was to start a Sunday morning service here on campus. That's the direction that we wanted to go. That's something that identifies us as a church, that we meet on Sunday, that we worship together, that we learn together. And then from there, everything filters out to what we do on campus. And so we were trying to get this Sunday service going. If you go back to that picture that we had before of the Sunday service, there was probably about 20 people at our first Sunday service. And we had that one in Rocket Hall, so your people are sitting at desks. And so we just needed to start somewhere. We needed to have an established starting point. We needed to give a vision for people of what we wanted to do. And we knew that we wanted to be here in the Union. This is the most centralized location on campus. And I remember we, during the summer, before the fall of 2014, we had printed up a bunch of advertising. We had gotten all of our room reservations, and then about 2 weeks before our first actual service on campus, I was notified that the Union doesn't actually open until 11 a.m., and our service started at 11:30. I was like, oh, well, that's going to be impossible to set all of this up in 10 minutes before people start showing up. And so our staff team just started praying and asking God, like, will you fix this for us, because we can't possibly put on a service in that short amount of time. So we started praying, and I had a random conversation with a guy in a coffee house that went to a church here locally, and I was kind of explaining to him our problem, and he said, well, I know the guy that's in charge of all the buildings on campus. You should call him. I said, yes, I should. And so I called this man, and he said, oh, no problem. We'll change the hours to the Union at 9 a.m. You guys will be in there, no problem. And that was 2 weeks before our service was about to start. We just saw that God, seemed like a small prayer request at the time, but it was incredibly helpful for us, and it continued to open the Union at 9 a.m. for us. So we were starting our Sundays. We were starting to establish ourselves as a church, and we had more things that we wanted to start establishing. We wanted to start establishing more life groups on campus. So we started multiplying those. We only had one when we first started. Now we have three, and our hope and our goal is to build more of those. We wanted to start building a presence on campus and in the city, and so we started things like the Compassion Team. We've been helping serve with organizations like the Daughter Project and Food for Thought and just helping different organizations so we can serve the greater city, not just having our bubble here on campus, even though that's our focus, but there are huge needs that we can get involved in as college students to help serve the city and show Jesus to them. So we started establishing these things. We started establishing that the biggest and best thing that we could do as we started meeting a lot of you students was that we need to start building leaders. We need to start doing discipleship, like living life with these people and showing them the life of Jesus and going through the Bible with them, praying with them. So we started establishing discipleship and how we do discipleship. And last year, we established our group that we call Leadership Training Group, or LTG for short. This is really the student leaders that have taken ownership of our church. And right now, I think we have about 16 students on that LTG core group. And I think we have a picture here. So we had a retreat about a month ago, and we were really close to Bowling Green at the time. And Bowling Green was at their fall retreat. And we knew the code to how to get in their office. And so we went, and the retreat was very spiritual, don't get me wrong. This is how we finished it. We broke into their office. We turned all of their furniture upside down. We put sticky notes everywhere. We took this selfie, or I think a different, we took a selfie, and we copied like 50 of those on their own printer and posted them up everywhere in their office. Yeah, those are post-it notes that we put up. We set alarms on phones to go off at certain times. We just raised all sorts of trouble in their office. So it was just a great weekend. And so we're looking for more people, more students like you guys to sabotage their office. They've probably changed their code since then. We are looking for more students who want to say, yes, H2O, I want to take ownership of the direction of this church. I want to take ownership of what God is doing. I want to take ownership of what we can do on this campus. And so many of you new freshmen that have just stepped in, this is an opportunity for you guys to start thinking and praying through, like, what would my involvement be with H2O? What would that look like? And so, that's pretty much all I have to share.
So, we just want to, first, as we're just sharing this vision Sunday, thank you to the LTG and the leaders that are in this church. You guys have been so amazing. And we just thank God for you all the time in our staff meeting, talking about, even from the very beginning when we were here, we've had students taking ownership in this church and serving in this church, and the way that you volunteer and want to take ownership is really important and helpful to us. They say that in most American churches, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. And that's something that Matt and I and a lot of us, we're very passionate about changing that percentage. We don't believe that that's biblical at all. We see the church as our family, and we're all Christians with a gift from God, and He wants us to be participants in this. So we want 100% of the people doing 100% of the work. And I love that verse that talks about where the pastors are to equip the saints to do the work. And so we love doing ministry, and the staff loves doing ministry. But God wants us all to do ministry in some way. That's going to be, for a lot of you, ministry as a teacher, or ministry as an engineer, or ministry as a social worker, or, you know, whatever your occupation is. We're hoping to plant this seed in you that we are all leaders for Christ. And no matter if it's H2O or some church in the future, we want to strengthen you as a leader. So that really takes us to where we are as a church now. And to bring the church model back, that big circle, we're in this yellow season now. Okay, we've accomplished the plan that we think God has given us over the last 3 years. But now our focus, our laser focus, is on raising up leaders. And that's a really important thing. Some of those things in there are talking about raising up new staff, raising up interns, raising up some of you to lead ministries, to lead new life groups, to lead Bible studies that will meet with the Greeks on campus, or meet with athletes on campus, or meet with people that you love hanging out with, that you can start to minister to the things that you're passionate about. And we just want to get behind you. We want to find out what you love and what you're excited about and help you do ministry in that area. And really, that's a fancy word, doing ministry. It's really just what we talked about in our fall retreat, is letting God use you for who you are to just be a light to wherever you are. You don't have to change your whole life or change your major or things like that. It's just a different perception of what you're already doing to bring God's light into that time. So we love this verse in Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:2. It says, "You've heard me teaching things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." And that's really our leadership principle here from 2 Timothy, that we want to become the very fabric of this church. This is really the heartbeat of all the H2O churches, is that the things that you've seen in Jesus, the things that Paul was passing on to Timothy, the people that are influential in your life and spiritually affecting you, discipling you, we want to now pass those on to faithful people, to trustworthy people. That's you. that you might start doing these things to love people, to share the gospel, to serve, to get people excited about the things that God's excited about. And then you're going to pass that on to them, and you're going to train them and encourage them to pass it on. And that's the discipleship chain that we're trying to focus on right now in our church. So, you know, sometimes we look at H2O and you know, we can be very positive and we can be very encouraging and optimistic, which we are. But there's also times when we look at our church, and maybe you felt this way, you're like, man, there's a lot not happening in this church. There's a lot of things I want to change. There's a lot of things that, you know, what about this and what about that? And if you've ever thought that, we are right there with you. We are just beginning this plant here. And we have goals for the next 3 years and 5 years and 10 years that by God's grace, we are going to grow this. We have the picture and we have the vision, but we need your help to get us there. So if you ever come and feel like, well, I don't know if I want to bring this up, but this church is lacking this or lacking that, Matt and I will tell you 20 more things that we're lacking in this church. So bring that to us. We're with you. But we need to change it together and serve together. So this is really an important time of our strengthening phase to kind of bring us into this new season of our church in these next couple of years.
And I think one specific thing that I've really been thinking about lately in order for us to strengthen as a church, because I think of those early days and that verse that I read in Ephesians, something that we were really banking on that God would do far more abundantly than we could ask or think. We prayed about that consistently. And something that I feel like our church is coming back to is the importance of prayer. I think over the years maybe it's slipped a little bit. And so every week right now we have a prayer time at 1 o'clock on Tuesdays at the Carlson Library. And we find a room together. Mostly it's our staff, but I know that students have shown up every once in a while. And I know that maybe that is a time that is inconvenient for a lot of you, but we want to make that time really important to us as a staff. But if there are more people that you can think of that there's a different time that you guys can get together and pray, and I would encourage you guys to do that. We really think that over these past few months, I know that God has been really speaking to me heavily on how the lack of prayer that's been in my life. I know that I've spoken to many students recently that have said, I think prayer is confusing. I think prayer is difficult to do. It's hard to, this concept of thinking that we're speaking to an invisible God. And it's like, man, I really want us to just ask God, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. And so, even back in Ephesians, these are the verses right before the one that I shared before you, but it says this in Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. It says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through the Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down in God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand it, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. This is Paul speaking. This is his prayer for this specific church in Ephesus. And that's my prayer for all of us, that as we continue to seek and as we pray, we gather together to pray, that we'll start experiencing these things. We'll start seeing and knowing and understanding how long and how wide and how deep God's love is for us and how we can be rooted deeper into that. And so we're going to be having more of an emphasis on prayer. It's going to start there, Tuesdays at 1 o'clock, and we hope that it spreads throughout. So if any of you guys have a really, you're inspired, you're really convicted to pray more, please come and talk to me. I'd love to know some more times that students would love to get together and pray. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the future.
All right, so one of the things that we've all been just, I can't even overestimate how just we have been in awe of what God is doing through all these college churches in this network. And for a lot of you, maybe you're not familiar with it, and we need to just keep reminding them we're part of this H2O network. And in short, about 6 years ago, we had a church in Bowling Green of about 200 people. And we had this vision that we would plant college churches all over the Midwest. And it was such a crazy dream that half of our staff team, you know, were upset and just thought it was the dumbest idea ever. And we really had to kind of just come together and talk more and pray through about this vision that we had. And over those last 6 or 7 years, we now have 8 different college churches. And we have just literally been in awe of what God is doing. All of us would say it has nothing to do with us. It has just been this God thing. We're riding this God wave right now. I can't, again, exaggerate that enough of the many, many specific prayers that God has answered. We've just kind of fallen into this niche by God's grace, and we're just following His lead on this, and it's been something we're really excited about. So, you know, we just did this fall retreat with Ohio State and Cincinnati, and a new one that's starting at Wright State in Dayton. And there's also one at Kent State, and they just started one at Akron, and we have one at Pitt, and they've already started to branch out to a couple of universities, and we have one at the University of Central Florida in Orlando that's going to be joining up with us very soon. So we've gone from about 200 college students to over 2,000 college students in the last 6 years. And at all those churches, there's about 50 staff and 17 pastors. So we are riding this wave that we want to invite you to be a part of. And God is using you guys to really fuel a lot of us, because of a lot of the network has worked with H2O because of students like you taking ownership in the church. But then also just through like Facebook and through your relationships of like telling people about these other churches, we're all experiencing a lot of synergy because you're telling your friends from high school and just people you're meeting when they go to these different campuses, say, hey, go to H2O and invest in your spiritual lives. And so you guys have been breathing incredible life into this, that when we plant these new churches, people there already know of H2O because of you. So if I've just mentioned any campus that you have friends at, you know, when you encourage them to go, it makes it way more possible or way more feasible for them to like take that step of faith and go. And then the other exciting thing that we want to invite you into is that when you graduate, most of you are not going to come on staff with us. We hope some of you do, but most of you won't. And when we planted this church, we couldn't have done it without the non-staff, the community people that came here and got jobs at this city because they wanted to help us plant this church. And they have been so important. Our core group that's in our community has been amazing to help us. So we want to just plant that seed. Maybe you'll forget that, I don't know, but maybe 3-4 years from now, when you're praying about where to get a job, you're putting your resumes out there, that you would be a part of that, because we would just love your help and need your help. And so really the bigger picture of what we're trying to do and the vision that we want to share with you is it has been a huge blessing to just do this ministry, to do this endeavor for God together. Matt. And Matt has just, hasn't he just done an awesome job with his church plant? We would hate to do this by ourselves. So part of the excitement and part of the fun is doing it together and with our wives and with our team. And there's such a great spiritual lesson in that, because you hopefully experienced that at the retreat. There's this part of being on a team, whether it's pulling a rope on the Olympic team, or being in a life group, or doing a compassion project together, or a spring break trip together. God has wired us to serve Him, not alone on this island, which can be really hard and depressing at times, but He has wired us to be this light for Him together. And so when we are doing it with good friends, and we're talking about it, we're praying together, and we're kind of on this mission as a family, it breathes great life into us. And I really believe that one of the reasons that God has had His hand upon this H2O network and just growing it. Because if you would know these pastors and these 50 staff, like, none of them want to be the hero. They all just want everybody else to get the credit. And we all want Jesus to be the hero and the hero of the story. And I think that as we are a family and we humbly come before him to serve together, we can do amazing things. And so we really want that to just grow here at this university with you. We want to do it as a family and just set some really high goals and some really high metrics that we just know only God can do this. Because we want to see supernatural things happen. And there's some very specific things that we're praying for that we're not sure about.
Yeah, so ultimately, you know, with what we want to see God, we want to see God transform our lives. We want to see him transform the lives of students here on campus. And so the ways that we want to do that is we just want to commit ourselves to praying and doing the hard work that God is calling us to do. It's not fun work all the time. Like Matt said, you know, when we create that family culture, there is love, there is sacrifice, there is grace, but also there's the hard work of doing things together, of being together, and sometimes that causes conflict, and those are the hard places that we go to sometimes as a family. And so that's the kind of culture that we're trying to create, and we hope that just spreads on campus, because we know that there's a lot of students on this campus that they feel like maybe they don't fit anywhere. They don't feel like they've been accepted by any friends. Maybe they feel like they've been deserted by friends. But I think something that we as a church, something that we get to do, the uniqueness of it is that we get to come in and we get to show people love, but we also get to show them the love that God has for them. We get to show them the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, that he's a God that we can depend on. He's a God that we can go to in everything, and that when we create that culture of family, it's powerful. It's powerful. And so we want to start growing this family. We want to start multiplying our life groups. We want to see this Sunday service grow where I think there's just a lot of people that on this campus, they don't know about H2O. They don't know that we're even here. They don't know that we exist. Maybe some of them just think we're the water people and we pass out the water bottles to them at the beginning of the year. Requests keep coming in and we can give more water out to organizations. So I get at least 3 emails a semester on that stuff, which is awesome. We want to pass out as much water as we can. But we also, like Matt said, we would love if you're praying that maybe there's a few of you in this room that graduate in the next few years that would go on staff with our church, that would be willing to lay down your lives. Not that going on staff is more spiritual than anything else that you guys want to do, but we know that there are some of you that might be really excited about giving your lives to students after you graduate. And so we're really praying that you could have 1 to 2 students here in the next 2 years that would go on staff with us. And also we started our intern program this semester. We have 3 interns right now. We have Natalie, Josh, and Laura. They've been helping serve our church. So they did a lot of work for us this weekend at the retreat. And we're just excited that we have opportunities that you guys can get involved with. We can not just put work to you, but like we actually, like Matt said, like equip and train and build into you. Semester with Matt. So you don't get to work with me, you get to work with this guy if you're an intern. So that's a plus. I would not be dealing with the intern program. So, but this is our prayer and our goal, that we would have a larger influence on campus. And so this is where David comes in. This is where we're going to close. So David in the Old Testament really had this vision from God that there was a temple that needed to be made, a temple that was going to glorify God. It was a temple where they could put all the things that symbolized God, that meant everything to the Israelite people, this grand structure that would just represent everything on how glorious and beautiful and powerful God is. And David had this vision that God gave him to build this, but God gave him a vision that you're not actually going to be the one to build it. I'm just giving you the vision. Your son Solomon is actually going to be the one to build it. And so we're going to read here out of 1 Chronicles chapter 28. It says, David assembled at Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, the officials of the tribes, the officers of the divisions that served the king, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, the stewards of all the property and livestock of the king and his sons, together with the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the seasoned warriors. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made preparations for building. But God said to me, 'You may not build a house for my name, for you are a man of war and have shed blood.' He said to me, 'It is Solomon, your son, who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever, and you continue strong in keeping my commandments and my rules as he is today.'" So what we have here happening is that David had this vision for this temple. And for the rest of his life, he spent a majority of his time sharing this vision with his son Solomon so he would know exactly what the plans were to be for this temple. And then we actually see Solomon later on in the Bible, he actually builds the temple because he understood the vision. David had it imprinted on him exactly what he wanted. And that's what we're asking of you guys, that you guys are the future of H2O Church. You guys are the future of what God is going to do on this campus. We're trying to lay out that vision, and the crazy thing is, I think it's beautiful, but I think it's also kind of a double-edged sword as well, where you guys are going to work on this vision, you're going to lay it out, but I don't think you're actually going to be able to see it to its completion. Like 5-10 years after you graduate, we hope that this church looks dramatically different from when you left it. And it's because of the work and the prayer and the sacrifice that you guys put into it. The family culture that you created, the way that you invited people, the way that you took the gospel out on campus and you shared the message of Christ. Like, you guys are laying that vision foundation for this church and for this university. So that's what our prayer is, and we just pray that today is a start of that, and that tomorrow it builds, and then the next day it builds. And so we're really praying for you guys, just like Matt said earlier, we want to try to equip you as best as we possibly can. We want to bring you into what God is doing. And so if anything kind of buzzed in your ear this morning, and you thought, I really want to get more involved. I really want to step into leadership. Someone does. Too young.
Well, you're too young.
Call me in 16 years. but we really want to see you guys develop as leaders. Men and women that are seeking after God just as David was in laying down that vision. So let me pray, and then the names will come back in and worship. God, we thank you that you are an amazing God. Far more abundantly than we can ever ask or think. God, that you've called us to do incredibly difficult things. God, that you've called us to lay down our lives so that we can find true life. The life that you ultimately gave in your son Jesus. God, I pray that you would help us mature, you would help us grow, you would help us build this church, God. Let us not do anything that we just think we should do, but God, we can continue to follow what you've asked us to do. God, we love the church that you've established here. We pray for the future. And God, we thank you for the men and women that have given so much to serve you. And to make you famous on this campus. God, that's ultimately what we want. We want to bring you glory. God, even though we're here working and we're here serving, it's all because of you. So God, let us follow you, let us love you, and let us stay committed who we are as followers of Jesus. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.